Well, that is what we are celebrating tonight, that the King has come. And we celebrate that at all times, but particularly we set aside this night and this season. We've been through what's called the Advent season, in which we have been preparing our hearts almost as if to receive Christ again, afresh in our hearts. And that's what these candles here represent. And so tonight, we're a little bit excited because we have arrived at the moment where he has come and where we're celebrating that. Well, you heard the story that the kids received. That it is based off of course, the story that's in the Bible. And I'm going to look at a few elements of that tonight. But briefly, part of what Hannah read from, sort of an extended version of that, is the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, where it says that after the wise men had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So what is Christmas all about? Well, the word itself tells us a lot, that Christmas is simply the shortened form of Christ's Mass. And a Mass is just a celebration or a service, a religious service, often to something or someone. So Christmas is a celebration, a Mass, to commemorate the birth of Christ. And so that's what Christmas is. And the birth of Christ is about God himself becoming a human being. And that's often referred to as the incarnation, is what we call it. At Christmas and tonight, we are celebrating this incarnation, the idea that God became flesh in the person of Jesus, who took on a human body and human nature. I love Christmas for so many reasons. You know, in our world, there's often so much striving to move up in the world, to work to be better, to achieve more, to be greater, to achieve higher status and rank. But the beauty of the Christmas story is that the God of all creation came down, humbled himself, became lower. Philippians 2, verse 7 tells us that he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The phrase there means he emptied himself of his privileges that he had. It's sort of like the king of a country who goes to live in the slums with his people. And so we call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, among us, not God far from us, not removed from us, not God unable to understand us, but God with us, close to us, understanding us, God in flesh. And that's the beauty of the incarnation. That's the beauty of Christmas, because it tells us something very important about God's willingness to draw near to human life and to share in it, to understand it from our side, so to speak. The beauty and the pageantry, but also the sorrow and the difficulty, its heartbreaks and its passions. The heart of the incarnation is the story of God embodied, feeling, tasting, breathing, seeing, fearing, crying, hurting, hearing, and loving with us. See, the Jewish people, they were actually waiting for a Messiah, a Savior. They were expecting a mighty conqueror who would deliver them from all their political oppressors. And we would assume that God would come in the form of a wealthy and a powerful family, perhaps one of high status and rank and influence, to really get his message across. But what do we get? We get a baby, a vulnerable infant. Born in lowly Bethlehem, in a lowly stable among animals, born to Mary and Joseph, a couple of nobodies that nobody had ever heard of, people of low status and very little wealth. I mean, the world barely even noticed. The few verses we read tell us a lot about Jesus and the meaning of Christmas and some of its symbols. It says that the Magi come to the house. Not the manger as is commonly depicted here, because this is actually probably several months, if not even years later, that they come to visit Jesus, where the child is there in the house with his mother Mary. So here is Jesus, a child, rooted in history, growing up in a house, and it would have been a very simple house, taking on the full human experience. And it's this story, this truth of God becoming like us and being with us that we remember at Christmas. In fact, a few of the common symbols that we have come straight from this story. Of course, you see the lights around us. You see the star over there on top of the manger. We're told that these magi, they saw a star and they saw a great light in the sky. And so we celebrate that at Christmas with stars and with lights. And these symbols should remind us of the one who came to be light in darkness, a light that breaks into the darkness of our own lives. So lights are a symbol of rejoicing, just as they were for the Magi, where it says they were overjoyed when they saw the great star. And the lighting of the candles in the dark tonight, as we do, is a reminder that the light has come into the world. And that light outshines the darkness, as the gospel writer John tells us. And he calls Jesus the light of the world and says that darkness cannot master or cannot overcome the light. And so as you see the light brightening up and piercing through the darkness tonight, it is our remembrance that the light has come. And no matter how dark your time is, you can be comforted by the light of the world who outshines all darkness. And then they brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so tonight and tomorrow we will give gifts, but we do it in honor of those gifts that were given to Christ and in remembrance of that. And it's, of course, a recognition of Jesus Christ as God's ultimate gift to humankind. I mean, when somebody gives you a great gift, you feel like you want to give them a greater gift in return, right? Have you ever been in a situation where you give someone a gift and their gift is like 10 times better than your gift? You had just misread maybe the situation or something, and you feel a little bit bad about it because you want to give a gift that is of equal status or greater in return. And you might say, well, how can I respond to the greatest gift that was ever given, Jesus Christ? Christina Rossetti, a 19th century English poet, wrote this poem that makes its way into one Christmas song that sometimes gets sung. But she says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. As you give and receive gifts this Christmas, I want you to remember God's gift to us, Jesus Christ, his son, and ponder how you can give him the greatest gift you have to offer, your heart, your life. And as you see the lights outside, the lights of on the tree, the star on top of your tree or whatever you might have, the candles burning on Christmas Eve, remember the light of the world that has come and is willing to come into your own life, to come into your darkness. See, the lights outside remind us that Jesus is stronger than all sin, all evil, all darkness. And most of all, let that image of the humble Christ, the baby in a manger, this child being raised in a house, remind you that God is not far from your circumstances. For he lived his own human life. He is near you. See, if you feel lonely tonight, the message of Christmas is that Jesus understands. If you feel overjoyed and full of joy, well, he felt that emotion as well. Are you frustrated about life? Jesus knows that. Are you grieving? Jesus wept. Are you feeling misunderstood? Well, Jesus knew that better than anyone. See, Jesus took on flesh. He experienced the full range of human emotions and experiences. And this is what makes Christianity and Christmas so special, is that we don't serve a God who is far removed, distant from us, unable to understand what is going on. We serve a God acquainted with our suffering. The Bible says, tempted as we are, yet without sin. So whatever you are experiencing, he also has experienced it, and he can sympathize with you. And therefore, if you have a relationship with Jesus, have given your life to him, and you're following him, you can bring all of those things before him. And he understands. That's what Christmas reminds us. And if you're not sure if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you've never really understood the whole idea of why God would become flesh, come as a human being through Jesus, why he eventually died on a cross for our sins and rose on the third day and is now in the presence of the Father as our mediator and representative, I encourage you, don't let this Christmas slip past without opening up your hearts to him and really considering what Christmas means. If you need a Bible, we have some at the table in the back. We'd love to give you one. And you can just begin to read the gospel story and the Christmas story. And as you do that, just invite Jesus into your life, into your circumstances, into whatever darkness you might be facing. If you're interested in learning more of the story of God, then we encourage you, just get involved in a Bible-believing church. If that's not here, that's fine. Just go somewhere where you can discover the journey of following Jesus and what it means to be a child of God. And if you'd like to journey with us, we'd love to journey with you. I'm going to ask the band to come back up, and in a moment, they're going to lead us in the singing of Silent Night. And as we close tonight by singing this song, I want you to really enter into the great mystery of God becoming a vulnerable baby. Entering into the human experience, the underwhelming circumstances that he chose to come in. And as you think about that, I encourage you, even in the midst of this song, to go ahead and invite that Jesus to enter into every circumstance of your life, to forgive your sins, to enter into your story, your situation, your feelings, even if perhaps it's for the very first time. And as we sing this song, we're going to light all the candles around us. So if you have one nearby, you can get that ready. And I'll start it here and we'll just kind of pass it around like one big family. But why don't you stand with me as we sing Silent Night together, and then I will come up and close us in a prayer before we dismiss tonight.